Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8/10 of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
What happened here? Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Pre-game show of the season here on CLNS Radio. So, of course, things are going very smoothly, as usual, right? Starting late, already a minute into the show, and the bumper was 15 seconds late. I don't know what's happening here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, and thank you very much for tuning in to the Celtics pre-game show here on CLNS Radio. My name is Matt Rury, and I am your host tonight, and I will remind everyone, as always, that or post-game shows, as we usually do here on CLNS Radio, are brought to you by lynda.com. That's L-Y-N-D-A.com. And that is the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. So if you're ever looking for a reason to get better at anything, really, head on over to lynda.com. And check it out. You get a free trial there with our special deal, lynda.com/CLNS. That's lynda.com/CLNS. And CLNS Radio is on Twitter, at CLNS Radio. We are also on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com/CLNSFans to check out that page and like us, because I know you all do if you're listening right now. And you can find me on Twitter as well, at Team Green Truth. My co-host is on Twitter, at CLNS_Nick.
Good man. Good man. You remember.
And he hits the board. Here he is, right on time. The technical difficulties are finished. Nick Gelso, the founder, the man that makes this all happen.
Yeah, right.
Show, sir. Glad to hear from you tonight. Thanks, glad to be with you.
First time on the air together, I think, this year.
Yeah, it's been a weird little situation here. I've been trying to mix and match all these different hosts that we have, all the great hosts and analysts, and the guys are unavailable certain days.
You got a lot of juggling. And I'm always up for a good pregame show, though.
That's right. You're one of the few of our hosts that actually like the pregame show. We all know Calvin hates it.
I enjoy it. Yeah.
But the thing is what we do, folks. When there's a West Coast game and Calvin is the only guy that's available to do the show, then sorry, Calvin, you can't do a show by yourself. We're doing a pregame show. We got a few guys on the West Coast to do the host for us, and they were not available tonight to do a post-game show, so we're flipping it on the other side here as the Celtics are down in Mexico City, of all places, for a road game against the Sacramento Kings. And our old buddy there, one and only.
Rondo!
I do not miss that. Don't miss that drop. I don't miss that drop, man. I'm already inciting riots in the Facebook groups out there, you know.
I mean, that drop is gonna be here all night, Nick. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. It's only a 55-minute show for now. I could put up with Chris Webber screaming Rondo. So triple double tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see about that. Let me tell everybody first, before we get into the meat of this, that, of course, as always here on the show, you can call us on the FanDuel toll-free call line at 347-215-7771, and we'll get into why they are the FanDuel toll-free call lines a little bit later. But for now, while you're listening to us, go to FanDuel.com and check it out, and you'll find out why. So yeah, triple double. Rondo's been playing real well over there in Sacramento, and we're going to leave with him because he is. While I don't think that he's the biggest thing to worry about in this game tonight, I do think that he's the most interesting thing to worry about in this game because he is a player that was here for quite some time and a title here. He was an integral part of that, and fans are. He had a lot of fans here. In Boston still, I think even though some people might look at him, Nick, as a traitor and that he has his flaws, which I know you're going to get into at some point tonight, he still has his fans. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes out and plays in this game just on a neutral court against really a bunch of guys that for the most part he didn't play with when he was here in Boston.
Not many of them. I mean, if you think about it, who? Bradley, Sully, Zeller for a little while. I mean, there was a couple that were, you know, there, Zeller doesn't even play, but I think it couldn't be a better setting. It's on a neutral court. Knowing Rondo, he's going to come out gangbusters. He's going to come out and be on fire in the first quarter, probably the first half, but the Kings aren't going to win, and I think that's Rondo's story, especially, I guess, the second half of Rondo's career as the talent kind of left his wings and he was kind of left to lead. Now, I don't know, is Cousins playing tonight? I know he's been in and out quite a bit with the Achilles injury, right?
He has been in and out. I think as far as I know, he's going to play. I'll see if I can find any sort of update on that. I should have looked into that prior. It's part of my fantasy team situation, so I should know that stuff. But anyway, Rondo has had a few triple-doubles already this season, Nick. And he's averaging a he's averaging a double-double right now with 13 points and 10 rebounds. And he's averaging seven rebounds. He's averaging 10 plus assists.
It's got a great stat line.
It is a great stat line. And I don't know whether he's trying to prove himself to everybody out there for a better contract and he's just going to do it all year, or whether he's actually got a decent fit with George Karl and DeMarcus Cousins there in Sacramento. That is actually getting him to play a little bit better. I see four triple doubles here on his game log, including one against Golden State, who has one of the most formidable backcourts in the entire league, and their defense is very, very good. So Rondo had a pretty. I mean, he didn't shoot very well against them, but that's nobody shoots well against them. He had a pretty good all-around game against Golden State, and that's something to be proud of if you're. A Rondo guy, although the second time around, just the other night, he didn't fare so well against the Warriors.
Here's the thing. Right now, there's a key point here. Rondo, first of all the pressure is on him because it's a contract year, but there's no pressure really from a losing team. This is a team full of losers. They're 7-12. Without Cousins in the lineup, I think they're like 1-8 or 1-7, something like that. He still can't. He's still the ultimate oxymoron because he does make everybody better around him, but he doesn't make better teammates around him. So he's just not a leader. I think there's a key component to him doing so well here, and at least the comments I've heard coming from him recently, and that's, you know, George Karl lets him run the show. Well, sure, everything is always nice and rosy when Rondo gets his way, but when things start going poorly, and I mean, on a 7-12 team, things can only go worse if Divac doesn't bring talent in, some sort of talent, he's going to fly the coop. But when things go really bad, the ugly Rondo comes out, and his, his unconditional fans will continue to praise him anyways. He's kicking the basketball at referees and acting like a jackass. So, you know my take. There's a reason you put me on this game. There's a reason you put me on this game.
Maybe if it was subconscious, there's a reason. Yeah. I don't really remember all the little intricacies of why. I kind of knew that I needed to get you on here for Rondo. But Nick, you mentioned DeMarcus Cousins, and he's the real thing that you need to look out for tonight, especially since he's playing against the Celtics, who don't have anybody that can defend him. Do they have anybody that can defend him? I mean, Jared Sullinger did a pretty good job the other night against Miami, but Miami doesn't have anybody that is the caliber of DeMarcus Cousins. This guy is a real deal. He's a superstar, power forward slash center in the league. He can pretty much do whatever he wants to the ball. And those types of players cannot be defended by the Boston Celtics this year. Who's going
to
guard him?
No, I mean, you really have to let him. I think you let him get his, and you try and stop everybody else. I mean, I think that's what they have to. The Celtics are very, very good at team defense. They're great at the hustle play, the 50-50 play on defense. And I think if they can get the Kings backpedaling and scrambling a bit, you know, let Cousins get his 30 and stop everybody else.
He's going to get 30. I mean,
is he playing? He's definitely playing.
Well, he played against Dallas 4 nights ago.
Okay.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So he's playing. Yeah. He's definitely going
to
play.
And if they have a back to back coming up here on the 5th and 6th, maybe he doesn't play one of those games. But tonight, it looks like everything would go. I don't see anything out there saying that he would be sitting down. So I think he's going to go. And that's just the way it is.
This is one of those games coming off of, a good win against Miami. The Celtics seem to play this flip-flop game. You know, they show up strong in one game. They play a great game against Miami, and then this would be the type of game that they fall flat on their face with. And I think that they're dealing with more of the time change than – there is a time change in Mexico, right? It's 2 hours, I think. So, you know, they'll be dealing with more of the jet lag issues, and they're going to be dealing with a pumped up Rondo who's still got a chip on his shoulder, clearly.
All right. Is everything working now, Chelsea?
Yeah. You know, you put me back on the air and we have these archaic blog talk radio issues. Yeah. Could you hear me?
Love it.
Well, you know what? While Rory's trying to figure this out, let's get right to the call lines here, Rory. I'm going to open up the call. You got it, baby. Well, I don't have the FanDuel read. So why
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I mean, for some reason tonight, everybody, the two of us folks, just were a little behind the scenes, are telling each other that we both sound distant. So I just tried to see if I could fix things. I don't know if it sounds any better, Nick, but
slightly, but.
Distant, but we just sort of lost things there for a second. I apologize for that.
Well, let's truck through it.
Is that DeMarcus Cousins is probably one of the better players to pick in FanDuel tonight. You still have 45 minutes before this game starts. I'm sure there are plenty of leagues on FanDuel that start right around the time this game starts. I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
I don't care how much DeMarcus Cousins costs on FanDuel, but you should go pick him up in your daily league. And as Nick said, the FanDuel toll-free call in, the 347-215-7741, are there because of them this year. And we'll be opening those call lines in just a minute. But first, go through the deal that you can get on FanDuel. I'm telling you, pick DeMarcus Cousins. You can have a monster game against the Celtics.
Great, that's great.
Yeah, if you don't take Cousins, then I think you're probably starting yourself off poorly, especially if you're starting a league at 10 o'clock tonight with just a couple of games going on. Take DeMarcus Cousins, I promise you. It's going to have a big game. Anyway, if you think you know basketball, and obviously I think I do, go to prove it at FanDuel.com. It's the best place to play one-day fantasy basketball where you pick with DeMarcus Cousins as your ninth, and the payouts will be in your account next morning, in the next morning, tomorrow morning. There's no waiting. You get the money right away. Every day you can play twice a week. You can play once a week. You can play twice a month if you want to. The good thing about this deal now is that while leagues are just starting at just $1, you pay up to $10 and you don't win, FanDuel is going to pay that money back to you. So basically, it's a no-lose situation. It's a great no-lose offer. And if you enter the league now, like I said, they're going to refund your money. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com and use the promo code Celtics. That's our special CLNS promo code for free play, basically, unless you win and you get the money. Go to FanDuel.com for every day of the season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com, promo code Celtics, so you don't have to pay for your league if you lose, which I don't expect you to do because you're taking DeMarcus Cousins. All right. We are going to go to those columns now, Nick. And first off, becoming our everyday caller, it seems, here. Old friend, Nick Sesento. Nick, are you as worried about Cousins beating up the Celtics in this game tonight as I am?
Oh, well, I mean, doesn't every big man beat up on the Celtics? I mean, that's pretty much the MO is, you know, you get a star big man, and that's pretty much what they do. We don't have size. We don't have a defender down low. I mean, that's pretty much what you come to expect. But I think that as much as any team possibly can, for its lack of having an actual center in the rotation, and I don't think it actually has a center in the rotation, a real center in the rotation, since you took Tyler Zeller out, I think as best as any team can, we compensate for that lack of an interior presence with, you know, about as good, you know, wing and, you know, backcourt defense as we possibly can have. I mean, Avery Bradley is, while I personally think that his defense has declined slightly as his offensive output has increased, he's still obviously well above average defender. When Marcus Smart is on the court, obviously he's not tonight, but when he's there, he's a well above average defender. Jay Crowder, obviously one of the better wing defenders out there, and it's interesting because there's so many different types of wings out there. I wouldn't consider him a wing defender like a Tony Allen wing defender, but I would consider him, you know, a good, you know, someone that can take the bigger small forwards in the league. So I mean, you have, and then Amir Johnson is not bad defensively either. He can take a little bit of bang. He's more of a power forward. I know he gets minutes at the five, and Sully, obviously, with all that, you know, all that meat, he can take a little bang, and he's not going to move. He's pretty much an immovable object. So I think, you know, he does have that going for him. As much as Celtics fans like to get on him about his weight, I think, you know, that in many ways his weight helps his game, and it just remains to be seen again if his weight is going to hurt his game with his health and his stamina and durability and whatnot. But my biggest question, Colin, is why all the Rondo hate? What's the deal with the Rondo hate? I go everywhere I go, it's like this Rondo hatred. The guy helped us win a championship. I mean, I don't get it. There's certain players that come in, you know, they play for the Celtics, and you can say, they're not a Celtic for life. They didn't come. They only stayed for a couple of minutes. I mean, I don't know if Tayshaun Prince is obviously not a Celtic for life, or Jameer Nelson. I mean, these guys, they come and they go. They're nobody special. But, I mean, Rajon Rondo ran the offense, you know what I'm saying, in two NBA finals. I know he wasn't quite where he was supposed to, you know, where he ended up being in 2008. But in 2010, he was the man really running that. There was no question about it. And for Celtics fans now, for some reason, I just don't understand what the variable is. He didn't leave the team, like, voluntarily, like Ray Allen. He didn't get up and say, you know, screw you guys, I'm out of here. I mean, there didn't seem to be – I studied the issue at length because Rajon Rondo is one of my favorite players at, you know, one point in time. I didn't see him, you know, bad-mouthing anything. And when bad-mouthing the Celtics, bad-mouthing, you know, the front offices, anything, he just kind of left and that was that. And when I look back on it, what was the only thing that he wanted? He wanted a max contract as per the 2000 the 2014, 2015 standards, it should have been about 21 million a year. Now, if you look at 21 million a year when the salary cap jumps next year, that's nothing. Is Rajon Rondo playing like a $21 million a year player right now? I kind of think that he is. He's getting $9 million, but if we're paying Amir Johnson $12 million, I mean, I think Rondo's worth at least, you know, $20 million on that, and we don't have a ball handler right now. We're still looking for that ball handler. It remains to be seen if Marcus Smart's going to be that ball handler. And we're still really, when the game comes down to it, this is the debate that I had on Facebook. Isaiah Thomas or Rajon Rondo, who do you want on this team now? Do you think, would you want Isaiah Thomas in game 7 of the NBA Finals in the fourth quarter with the score tied or maybe down by a point or two? Would you want Isaiah Thomas to be a ball handler?
Now, you asked 7 questions, but you didn't give any, you know, me a chance to react to this. Cool. All right? So, first thing is, Mick, I'm not new on the – first of all, I'm not a Rondo hater. I just never was a Rondo believer. And the more that people fell in love with him and looked away every time he did something boneheaded, I got more and more annoyed and then got dubbed as a hater. But this goes way back to 2009. This is a joke with Rory and I for literally 6 years. I've not believed in him since he had that unbelievable series against the Bulls in 2009 and then showed up late in a Red Bull car in a deciding game against Orlando in the next series, and we lost. And he didn't show up for the game, basically. So I think Rondo is an enormous talent. He's an anomaly. He's one of those once-in-a-lifetime players, but I don't know that he's necessarily a leader or winning is his number one priority. And I know that people want to kill me for that, but it seemed like a lot of the time attention and getting his way were more important than the team. I mean, I think I put in your Facebook group about 2010. You know, it seemed like after 2010, Pierce and KG came back with the Rondo is the leader of this team, and things really started to go downhill after that. I mean, I think you're forgetting about, you know, when he punched a hole or threw a TV. I mean, he threw a TV in the locker room. He was getting on Doc, publicly getting on Doc.
No.
No one dislikes Doc Rivers. No one.
I do.
Well,
I don't care much. I don't care much for Doc Rivers.
You're one of the very few, but you don't have to play for him. I don't know anybody that's played for him that doesn't like him.
But how can we say
Rondo? Ray Allen, everybody wants to blame Ray Allen. Everybody always wants to throw Ray Allen under the bus. Rondo orchestrated that whole thing. Trust
Joseph,
me.
But listen, who's the one player that everybody now is touting as the great player on the Celtics roster right now? Avery Bradley. Who's responsible for putting Avery Bradley in that position? For all the criticism of Rajon Rondo's coaching, it was a coach or Rajon Rondo wanting to have the coaching his way. Who was it that suggested that we put Avery Bradley in the starting lineup instead of Ray Allen because of the defensive dynamic?
And you know what? Avery Bradley, first of all, Rondo didn't have the right to make demands on a team with a Hall of Famers like such as Ray Allen, who could still play at that time. Clearly, he went to Miami the next year and was almost single-handedly responsible for them turning that series around and winning.
Why didn't he do that in 2012? Speaking of which, because we talk about how the downfall of the team, but Rajon Rondo being the leader of the team after the 2010 era when Pierce and Garnett turned it over to Rajon Rondo, where did the team go in 2012? To Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals with players like Greg Steensma and Michael Peaches. I mean, this is you have to give the guys in a severely diminished Kevin Garnett, and Pierce obviously was still relatively Pierce, because Pierce is almost timeless in my opinion. I think this season might be the end of that. But I mean, look what Rondo was capable of doing, and during that playoff run, the heightened play that he put forth during that 2012 playoff run. I mean, I think there's obviously nobody's perfect, and there's flaws, and he did have boneheaded plays. But you know, throwing things in closed door film review meetings. I mean, what about 2006 when we saw on national TV Dirk Nowitzki kicking a light device?
Thank you. That's going to be how
throwing things at referees in big games. I mean,
Hold on. Can you imagine? Rondo's not even in town right now, Knicks. Can you imagine the backlash that there's going to be when this man comes to town? I'm putting you on that post game show too, Nick.
You can, but feel free. And you know what? I have no problem. Everything I'm saying, this is nothing new. I've always felt this way. I don't single-handedly blame the guy for losses or for – but I do blame him for bad locker rooms. I mean, he contributes. He contributes to bad locker. Look at what he did last year in Dallas. That was a great opportunity for him. How is that not his fault?
I don't know. He could have tried.
That could have been Monte Ellis's fault just as much. Monte Ellis is a.
Do you think it's Monte Ellis's fault now?
I think Monte Ellis has been bad news in plenty of locker rooms as far as I've followed the NBA. He's been kind of I want the ball myself kind of guy. But it wasn't a good idea to have two ball-dominant small guards in the backcourt anyway. It was an idiotic idea. I don't know what that, and maybe, to be honest with you, I don't think Carlisle and Rondo were the type of, a match made in heaven, to be honest with you, because,
I don't
you know,
think
Carlisle
anybody
seems
is.
Like that.
I don't think anybody is. If you can't get along with Doc Rivers, I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah,
now he's out
George
there with George
Carl.
Carl. George Carl is giving – wait a minute. George Carl, from Rondo's mouth, he's giving me the keys to the kingdom. I mean,
that's
he's calling a 7-12 team a kingdom.
Carl has learned from the other guy's mistakes. He's just letting Rondo do whatever he wants, and he's got enough talent around him to win 7 games every time, every 15 or every 20 games.
I mean, and where does that lead you? 12th place. 12th place.
Sacramento's definitely improved this year.
Well, there better be. I mean, you got the best big man one of the best big men in the league with the, you know, Celtics Nation at least proclaims him as a top 5 point guard in the NBA. He's playing very well on a very bad team that's losing. And when Cousins isn't on the floor, they don't win at all.
All right, Nick Sesento, we appreciate the call, sir.
No, let him rebut it.
Let him rebut it. I was going to say, we're going to move on because we got a couple other callers on the line here, Nick.
Well, I'm sure they're getting a kick out of this bullshit.
Yeah, you are losing your mind right now.
It's like that now, Nick. Okay, I get it. It's bullshit now. Okay.
No, Nick. You know I love you, Nick. You know I do.
Yeah, it's mutual, man. It's mutual.
I love this kind of stuff. It's friendly, and truthfully, I understand the talent. I mean, he is, like I said, he's an anomaly. He does things with the basketball that sometimes you just go, you scratch your head and say, what the F? And then he does things with his head being a head case that you scratch your head and say, go F yourself or what the F. You know what I'm saying? He's a very frustrating player. He's always been.
But I think that you can see that even from, you know, and the argument's always going to be it took three or at least two, Hall of Fame talents, three Hall of Fame talents. I don't know how much Rondo ever listened to Ray Allen, that it took three Hall of Fame talents to keep Rajon Rondo in check during that, the glory days of, you know, the most recent, you know, contending championship era. But, I mean, still, you can't subtract what Rondo gave to that team, and you can't subtract the fact that even as the team's talent was waning, you know, Rondo still brought them, you know what I'm saying, at least was a major force in 2012 and bringing them somewhere. But I agree. Maybe, you know what I mean, there's some of those issues that he'll never get over in the NBA that he'll never do. But I think a lot of it, I think, is one of those things where, you know, I don't want to pull the he's a thug thing, the thug stigma, because he's obviously not a thug. He's always been elevated. I think if you read, like, you know, some of the articles that have gone into him more biographically, you know, he's always shown heightened intellect in school, kind of being bored in school because the teachers, you know, aren't challenging him enough. He always wanted to be, you know, he questioned his teachers, got in trouble doing, you know, things like that. I think that if you find a coach like George Karl, who, by the way, didn't George Karl coach the Sonics to the wasn't he the coach to coach the Sonics?
I have a lot of respect for him.
He's not a stupid coach. So I mean, you know, him giving a little bit of you know, feel. I think that's what you're getting in the NBA now, more so than you did in the past, where you get players that are going to take a little bit more of the reins. What, I mean, ESPN, nobody said anything when LeBron James was, I mean, well, they did say something, but I mean, it was downplayed, you know, more so than it has been with Rajon Rondo, obviously because of the huge discrepancy in talent. But LeBron James openly flouted Blatt during the playoff run last year, or during their run last, the Cavaliers run last year, openly calling plays, telling Blatt to, you know, go sit down, I'm going to run the plays and doing those things. But LeBron James can do that. I think there was an article that was posted recently about Cousins and Rondo's had a big sit down with George Karl. And I think that sit down is the equivalent of what you've been seeing with guys like LeBron
Wait a minute. The sit down was with DeMarcus Cousins, Rondo, and the team. Vlade Divac allowed them to have it without George Karl there.
The article that I read said with George Karl, but a very powerful meeting.
Maybe it's another meeting. I don't know. Maybe they had so many meetings. How powerful can
they be? Every team has all these meetings, and whenever something's not going right, when you're a 7 and what'd you say, 12 team or 7 and 15, you have lots of team meetings. But no. But the thing is, I think Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins, I think, to my understanding, played together sometime previously, maybe AAU or somewhere. They had some friendship prior to what's happening here in Sacramento. I think what you're seeing now is Rondo never had that ability of like a LeBron or a Dwayne Wade or a Carmelo or whoever to kind of hold a franchise hostage. He didn't have that he wasn't so great at scoring, and he wasn't a good shooter. The things that you need to be that franchise player to command that kind of power. But I think what he has now is with DeMarcus Cousins, who I think, in my opinion, seems to be a friendship, you know, they have going there. They're teaming up. They're kind of taking ownership of this team. DeMarcus Cousins is the guy that puts up those stats, that puts up those franchise numbers. And maybe Rondo is, you know, maybe this is becoming kind of – DeMarcus Cousins always kind of been kind of like that, you know, looked at like a knucklehead. Maybe this is kind of one of those situations. Rondo's the brains and DeMarcus Cousins is the guy that's putting up, you know, the 20 and 12 a night. You know what I mean? And just on top of that, Rondo's, you know, also happens to lead the league in assists. So you have, you know, this dynamic here where – each of them alone doesn't necessarily have the power. DeMarcus Cousins because of his attitude issues. Rondo also with his attitude issues. But you put those two together, maybe that's the, you know, that's where the league is going, where the players are trying to take more control over what's happening with their teams. They want more control over the coaching, more control over personnel decisions. It's not the same old, there's a GM up in the office and he doesn't ever talk to the players and he makes all the decisions and the players like it and shut up. It's just not that way anymore.
Nick, I'm going to leave you. We'll chew on that, and I'm going to leave you with this. You talk about Ray Allen. You know, Ray Allen's responsible for a lot of those assists to Rajon Rondo. No question about it. I'll talk to you later, Nick. Good debate. That was fun.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. I'll talk to you in your Facebook group.
Absolutely. Bleed green.
Bleed green, baby. That's Celtics, Boston Celtics Bleed Green Facebook group. Rory, I'm going to read through this FanDuel read, toll-free call lines, FanDuel 347-215-7771. Do you love FanDuel as much as I do? Hit me up on Twitter, CLNS_Nick, and let me know. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner and use our promo code Celtics. There you can sign up and get special offers for new users. Special offers for my listeners. Enter a FanDuel league now, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund you your money. That's right. You heard Rory say it before. I'm telling you again. Up to $10. Just make a deposit. Choose your league, and if you don't win, you'll get that money right back in your FanDuel account. So go to FanDuel.com. Use the promo code Celtics. That's FanDuel.com. Matt Rory.
Hey
there, buddy. All right, my man. We're back. What do you think? Did Nick put me in my place or what?
I'll tell you again. You and Nick, though, I can't. Sometimes he just gets going so much. He's got so much energy, and he just goes and goes, and I'm trying to think about how I'm going to respond to one thing that he says, and then he's off to another thing. And it's just all back and forth. I just let you take care of that one.
He very much is the Celtics fan on ADD medicine. I don't know because he is, but he gets good points in, man. He always does. I think he put me in my place slightly. He shut me up. That's not easy to do.
Definitely. But maybe the next caller can find a way to shut you up. I'm sure he's a Rondo fan.
I'm sure he's a Rondo fan.
That caller has actually dropped off the board. So I'm curious if he will call back. But if not, fine too. 347-215-7771. As Nick said, those are the FanDuel toll free. Or that is the FanDuel toll free call in number. I'll also remind people now about the fact that the CLNS Beat podcast series is teaming up with Audible to give away a free audiobook to you if you haven't done this yet, which if you listen regularly, I'm sure you have done this. You should do it again. Tell your friends. So Audible is the world's largest online library for audiobooks, and it's a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature. You got fiction, nonfiction, sports, like we talk about here, sports, baby, and periodicals. So if you want to go and hear some more or somebody else talking, reading a book to you, after Nick and I are done talking to you about this game, maybe at halftime you want to hear a little bit of an audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics and get your free audiobook today. We've got about 10 minutes left here, Nick, until
Bob Ryan's
in Mexico City. What's that?
Bob Ryan's book is great. It's on Audible.
There you go.
I think it's The Scribe. Yeah, it's a really good book. Who doesn't like Bob Ryan?
I don't know.
Did we lose our caller?
Yeah, we did. We did lose him. I'm not sure if he's going to call back or what, but if he does, we'll go to him. So I guess we could have let your rant just again, which Nick has to go on a little bit longer.
He's still there. I think you can bring him back. I could debate Rondo all day. You know that. But I think it would just get old.
I don't want to make this thing about Rondo, though.
All right, let's talk. The Kings are
a little bit better than they were last year. And I'm not trying to make this into the Celtics should be underdog situation here. But I am concerned about DeMarcus Cousins. But we haven't really talked about the Celtics at all, Nick. This is the Celtics pregame show. We focused on Rajon Rondo for the last half an hour. Let's talk about what the Celtics can do and need to do and what has been going on for the past like week or so. Jay Crowder basically has voiced an opinion in the media that I and a lot of other people on this network have been voicing for months and years even. Brad Stevens needs to find rotations. He needs to get set rotations and play his best players more and find a way to get these guys on the court together more often. And Jay Crowder basically said that in an interview after the loss against Orlando. Stevens then goes out the next night and does that. Shortens his rotation. They beat the Heat. They're riding high. Like the way that they're coming off that game. So I'm interested to see how things go tonight and what he does do to try and combat DeMarcus Cousins. Because this might be a situation where the Celtics are big getting foul trouble, Nick, and he might have to break those rotations a little bit. And if Jay Crowder is speaking through the media, who's to say what is going to happen if these guys get their rotation broken? I agree with him. But at the same time, they should just do what the coach says and try and play their best when they're out there. I know it's tough to get continuity when you're playing with different guys and you're just coming in and out and there's no set rotations. But I'm just curious to see how that goes tonight, especially when they are going to have to guard DeMarcus Cousins. And I expect that the Celtics players to get in foul trouble really quick in this game.
Rotations is an issue. I can't disagree with you there, but it's hard. I mean, when you have a team that I know this is the standard response, but when you have a team that's this deep and no real star on the team, what are you going to do? I mean, he's got to kind of test the waters. I think he's kind of, I mean, the Avery Bradley, plus you got the injuries too, Rory. It's hard to get settled in with anything when Marcus Smart is in and out of the lineup as much as he is.
But, I mean, so, I guess I'm more focused on Jay Crowder's comments than I should be, Jamie. And maybe he's just speaking for himself and it's tough for him. Because
What did he say and when did he say it? I missed that.
After the Orlando Magic game, he basically said, I'll try and find the exact quote here. But he basically was saying that it's tough when you don't have rotations to find this thing. I don't want to misquote him.
It has been an argument, too, because, you know, you think old school, and I think very old school, as you know, it's hard for players to get any kind of rhythm when there is no rotation and there is no, you know, even close to set minutes. You know, one minute you got one game you have somebody playing, you know, David Lee's playing 4 minutes. The next game he's playing, you know, 24 minutes. It's very, very difficult to get players in a rhythm that way, I think.
So here's the direct quote. This is from Jay King at MassLive.com. Quoting Jay Crowder after the Orlando Magic beat the Celtics in a game where I think the Celtics have caught the bug, Nick, of playing down to their opponents and up to their opponents. They're an above average team, and if you start doing that, you're going to lose more games than you should. That's the bottom line. But here's Jay Crowder. We haven't built our identity yet as a unit. Coaching staff hasn't figured it out yet. We don't have set rotations. A lot of guys don't know where we're going to play or what time we're going to play. It's affecting us a little bit. We've got to figure it out as a unit, figure it out as a coaching staff. We've got to build our identity in who we want to be. We're a month into the season. We haven't figured it out. End quote.
I think there's some validity to that, don't you?
I do. I think he's absolutely right. It's just strange to hear it coming from a player vocally in the media. Usually you don't hear players calling out their coaching staff, and he did it in a fine way. I'm not saying that he's doing it in a negative way or that he's trying to point.
No, but his point is taken.
He's taking ownership of it himself as a unit as well, and I agree with him that they need a rotation. They need to – that regularity, and that's just the way a lot of NBA players are. They want to know when they're going into the game. And
but Rory, if you remember last year,
that we talk about all the time, Nick, and you just mentioned it, is that they have so many similar players in their team as far as talent is concerned. How do you decide who gets in there? Sure, shorten the thing a little bit, get rid of Zeller, cut Lee's minutes, I guess. But otherwise, I mean, I don't really know what Crowder expects the coaching staff to do.
It's very similar to last season. Right at the end of the first half of the season, a quiet guy like Brandon Bass made very, very similar comments, if you remember correctly, about the rotations and the minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, the minutes, though, maybe. And it was strange to hear things from him, I guess. Usually less. He didn't really speak up that much.
No. But if you think about it, it's a valid point from Crowder, but I don't see what the solution is. I don't see, and it's, you know, I'm late to the bandwagon with Brad Stevens, although I definitely see his value now. But I sometimes I question what he does and some of the moves he makes. But in this case, I don't see how he could do anything any differently, Matt. I mean, do you? I mean, I don't see who are you going to play? You know, I mean, I think Crowder.
He's got to go with who he thinks is the good matchup and who he thinks is the hot hand. And, I mean, maybe he's going to cater to the players here a little bit and start playing with rotations and see how that goes for a little while. I just feel like there's too many instances on a night-to-night basis in the NBA where if you just play their regular lineup or what is perceived as the regular lineup, but they're going to be overmatched in different places, especially as big men are concerned.
Well, I think the other side of it too is, yeah, big men, I agree. I think also they're just so inconsistent offensively. They still continue to – their game is dominated by three-point shots, and when they're missing that three, they're just horrible. And I think that he's constantly trying to shuffle to who's the hot hand because – they, and I think I've said this last time when you and Calvin were on, it's hard when you have when you're in a tight position and you don't have a guy who could slow the ball down and you could go to him every, you know, position to quiet the crowd or get the crowd hyped up if you're home. And he just doesn't have any go-to guy or any kind of settling force. When you think about it, who's the calming force on this team? There really isn't one.
I mean, the most, I mean, if you want to label a number one on this team, it's got to be Avery Bradley. Well, actually, no, I would say it's probably Marcus Smart, but when he's not playing but tonight.
He's not there enough.
He's not established himself that much, actually, because he's been hurt a lot from time to, in and out of the lineup in the past couple of years. So it would be Smart.
That's
when he's out there, they play better. But for the guys that are there, Nick, it's Bradley.
And that's I mean, I'm really, really thrilled with how far along Avery Bradley has come. I mean, you remember when he was playing for the Red Claws, we used to get exclusive interviews from him. He was down in Maine or up in Maine. And now think about it. He's probably the leader of this team, at least at this moment. But I don't really consider Bradley to be that Paul Pierce type. I hate to say isolation player, but the guy who you could give it to and he could draw a foul or he could go isolation and you could rely on him to calm the team down when things get chaotic, and they do. And the Celtics just don't have that guy yet, and hopefully Danny Ainge through the draft or through trade is going to find that.
I think Evan Turner thinks he's that guy.
Well, and yeah, I mean, and if for nothing less, he's a great post-game presser, Evan Turner. I mean, his comments are priceless. But, you know, when Evan Turner doesn't think, he doesn't think too much. He's actually pretty good, you know, but he's not that guy, and that's a shame. But, yeah, I think that's really – I think it all goes back to that when you're talking minutes, you're talking the inconsistencies. I know when we talked after the Philadelphia game, I was saying you got to look at this team in chunks of four and five games. And you really do because they're just so – they're deep with good players. Do you know what I mean? They're not deep with amazing players. Or they don't have two or three or four amazing players.
So you're expecting these guys to go on like 2 week highs and then sort of hit a little bit of a lull and then 2 week high and it just sort of goes back and forth.
You're going to see chunks of five. Like if you could come out of five game, depending on where you're going or what the matchups are in that string of games. But if you could come out of every five games 3-2 or. And depending on who they are, sometimes 2 and 3, that's the best you can expect from this team. I don't think you're going to see them ever pull off a 9 for 11 streak or a 9 for 10 streak or, you know, an 8 for 12. I just don't see it happening because last year in the second half of the season, they played exceptionally well, but they also caught a lot of people by surprise. Everybody thought when Rondo left, the team was going to just tank. And even the fans thought, Danny was tanking, and here they did a turnaround. Well, now the scouting report is out. They're still surprising a lot of teams because they're feisty and they're fast and they play good defense, scrappy defense. But at the same time, I just don't think they have that good core nucleus. We don't know if this team is going to even look remotely similar after the trade deadline.
Right. Very true.
So,
I don't know. Yeah, it's a lot of speculation and a lot of nice discussion to have here, as we do every night.
But Rory, you know what? It's a lot, not to interrupt you, but it's a lot of fun basketball. When they're playing well, they're really fun to watch. They're talented, but they play hard.
I said the other day to some friends of mine that one guy sent an email out, and he said that the Celtics have the highest margin of victory in the NBA, higher than anyone, and that
they do and lost.
It's true, and I'm not sure if they still do. They may still. But to that, I said, you know what? They also have a couple of bad losses in there, and not just a couple. There were a handful of bad losses, and as far as even some bad wins, that Philadelphia win was a bad win in my mind. So
it was.
To that,
it was.
To that, I said the Celtics look very formidable and tough to beat when they are focused. And that's where I was worried about them playing up to opponents and down to opponents. And they look tough to beat when they're focused, but keeping them focused has been the toughest part of this.
I think that it's hard to keep them focused because, again, there's nobody there. There's not that one guy who's going to calm them down. But I also think because we're playing a perimeter style offense with not very good perimeter shooting players, you know? So I think that has a lot to do with it too. I mean, I'm not going to do it now because we're running out of time here, but if we go back through the box scores, how many, you know, 6 for 26 3-point nights did they have? And those games, they usually, I think, you know, yeah, and I think you're right. They do have the highest win ratio as far as point spread, but I think they also have the worst loss. I think they have the highest loss margin of loss as well. I think when they lose, they get killed.
Yeah,
if you look at that from a statistic standpoint. So, and it always seems to coincide with how they're shooting. Right.
That's the thing, and that's the cliche around the league. It's a make-miss league, right? Randy Whitman in Washington was saying that the other night after they went on a four-game losing streak. It's a make-miss league. We didn't make shots, so what am I supposed to tell you? But that type of thing.
Yeah, you hate to sound too much like Charles Barkley, but you live with the three and you die with the three. I mean, remember years ago, we used to make fun of that Orlando team because they played this exact style of basketball.
Yeah.
It was every shot, you know, and here we are. We're in that very, very similar situation now. And, I mean, we're making it sound doom and gloom here, Matt, but let's face it. This is a fun team to watch with great potential. And they are one or two players from really contending, but that may mean the team may look completely different 3-4 months from now or next year.
Something's going to happen. And Whit Grosbeck was on radio up here today, and I'm sure you heard about this at some point, but he basically said that he would rather trade the Brooklyn pick, even if it's a number one pick, and if he can, he would rather trade it for a proven player that is going to help them win now and for the next 2 years and get that type of guy if they could make that type of deal. He'd rather do that than use the pick, and I wholeheartedly agree with that.
That's funny because
with a guy that's been around for a few years and proven himself already.
That's funny because I don't know if it was Pelyuca or if it was Gotham. Obviously, two different positions. Pelyuca being the co-owner, Gotham being the president. But somebody, one of the two on Celtics beat, said that they will covet that pick, you know, barring a LeBron James type situation. So
I think that's,
you know, we also know
Wick was alluding to it would be have to be a Larry Bird type of player, like that level of player or higher. And we all know there aren't that many types of guys out there. There's probably a handful in the entire league that they would go for. So I'm not saying that they would just go trade for, I don't know, even Paul George maybe is not on that list. You know what I'm saying? Like that type of player who's playing excellent, he's out of his mind this year. But maybe he's not even in their mind as a player they would trade that thing for. Basically, Rich was saying that they could find a player that could help them win now and for the next few years, he'd rather trade that pick than develop the player. And I kind of agree with him. I agree with him on that. We're running out of time here, so I'm gonna play. Remember this?
Oh, my God. This is Avery Bradley of the Boston Celtics. You are listening to BLNS Radio.
This is Luke Herangode, and you're listening to BLNS Radio.
Luke Herangode, everybody. Where did he go?
Luke Herangode.
We were talking about earlier with our exclusive interviews up in Maine.
Luke Herangode. That's funny because the Tangway read doesn't even work for our drop. That liner doesn't even work for somebody. We should throw an Avery Bradley one in. You said, let's see if the people are. I remember it. I don't know if anybody listening remembers it. That was our, if you remember, that was our opening for a while, I think.
Yes, it was. So maybe we'll start using that again. That'll be the first thing you hear before you hear Mike Faye and the real open for our post-game shows. We'll have to wait and see on that one.
Do you remember
the post-game shows? Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I was going to say, do you remember the lockout season? It was either me, you, Ty or Backy on the air every night of the week, and Brandon would be in and out once in a while. But it was like every – because they were playing three games in four nights. Like, it was just a crazy schedule, and we had a really weak bench. That we had a strong bench, but it wasn't deep, meaning our hosts. We were on every night. Crazy.
We had to be. And luckily, we're not like that now.
No, but you know what? Bring Pierce, KG, and Allen back 5 years ago today, and maybe I'd do it again. Maybe I'd be crazy enough to do it again.
I don't know if I have the time to do that, but I could probably find it if I wanted to. All right. Well, we're talking about post-game shows and all that, and we've only got a couple minutes here, so I'll remind everybody, even though the Celtics are on the road, we're still doing post-game shows every night, and there will be a post-game show on Saturday, and luckily, one of the men you just mentioned is jumping in on that one, sir. I'm excited about this one. Ty Ray, ladies and gentlemen, will be doing his first post-game show of the season. He's joined by newcomer Andrew Norris, and Timmy Stefani is going to be on there with him as well, kind of showing Andrew the ropes after the Spurs game.
I will be in REM sleep at that point.
Well, you can listen to it on podcast in the morning when you
and you know I will.
Your free CLNS Radio mobile application on your iPhone or Android device.
Oh, that was perfect. You rolled that up perfectly. I do want to throw out. I want to throw one mention out there. I'm late listening this week, but Celtics beat had on Chris Forsberg, and you remember back in the day, Matt Forsberg was on our show all the time with Brandon, and just great to hear him back on our airwaves. And he and Larry had a amazing conversation about a lot of the topics we discussed here tonight. Of course, Forsberg being a bit more intelligent than we, but great episode. And episode before that was Mike Gorman. So a lot of good stuff happened there. You can find it on the mobile app. It's free for iOS and Android. And next Sunday, this Sunday coming, is David Wesley. So that's pretty cool, too. Anyway, go ahead, Matt. That's enough.
No, that's a good one, too. He's still doing some good things in the league, David Wesley.
Sure, sure.
And he's a beloved Celtic. So that's great. I liked him quite a bit.
Yeah.
The only thing we really haven't mentioned tonight, Nick, is Jared Weiss and the work that he does. The Celtics are on the road, but you can go check out his stuff that he's done before on the Garden Report, brought to you by the Grandstand app. And actually, that's the Celtics Locker Room Report, brought to you by the Grandstand app. The Garden Report is what started it all, basically, with Jared posting his reports, the things that he's found during the game. At the end of the game, he does it on the parquet. It's in HD. Head over to youtube.com/CLNSradio to check that out. And he will be on the show giving us that Grandstand app locker room report after the post-game show on Wednesday, December 9th, against the Bulls as the Celtics return home. So check that one out as well. Thank you very much for listening tonight. Celtics tip off with the Kings in just a few minutes. Go grab a drink, grab a snack, enjoy the game, and check us out on the post-game show on Saturday here on CLNS Radio. Thanks again, Nick. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, boss. It was fun. It was good stuff, boss. It was fun. I'll talk to you soon, Celtics Nation.
All right. There we go. That's it. Good night, everybody.
Peace. Later.